This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to Drive It Out with Will and Pete. We are replacing Murphy's Law this lovely Monday afternoon on Joy 94.9. If I was to say to you the words Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, does that mean anything to you?
I mean, yes, but in what form? So we've got, obviously, the Roman reference, but these are, of course, also very famous rockets that have gone up at various times.
They are excellent.
Good. Yes.
I mean, despite his youth, it is brilliant. Yes, well, that was all a part of the American space program back in the 50s and the 60s. It started off with the Mercury missions, which launched man into space, certainly launched the Americans into space. That went on to the Gemini missions that allowed the Americans to develop space flight and research things like in-orbit rendezvous. And that all then led to the Apollo program, which put man on the moon, which you'd all be forgiven for thinking that the Americans were a big part of the space program, but they were basically at the time in competition with the Russians. Lately, over the last few decades, the French, the Indians, the Chinese have also started to get into rockets and space programs. But where does that leave Australia? We have some of the greatest minds in the world, and we also have one of the best geographic locations in the world to launch space, or certainly commercial space rockets into orbit, being so far north with Queensland and having an easterly spread of the ocean. So we are turning to some of the youngest and greatest minds in the nation, and universities all around Australia are now gearing up to bring on Australia's space industry. And from RMIT, we have Zoe and Beck in to talk about some of the work that they are doing at their university. Girls, welcome to the studio. Now, you are all part of a space program. So, Beck?
Yes. Yep.
What is your current role at the moment at RMIT? What are you doing?
I'm actually currently the vice business lead at Hive. So basically what we do is we're like a rocketry team comprised of students all over from undergrad up to postgrad, and including staff and industry mentors. And we are part of this competition called the Australian Universities Rocketry Competition.
And how many universities are involved in this?
There are about
10.
10, yeah.
Oh, okay. And your involvement, Zoe?
I am the launch engineer at Hive. I look after everything to do with getting our rockets from the ground into the skies, including our launch rails, our ground system, our full setup, all the legalities and things that you don't think about when launching rockets, as well as doing a lot of outreach for women in STEM.
That is fantastic. And it's interesting you note that, because launching something like a rocket, it isn't just, lighting the wick and sending it up the launch rail and all just hoping like hell everything works. There's lots of legal issues, as you mentioned.
Yeah, lots of things to do with insurance that you really don't think about when you start out in this kind of projects. But really, it's a lot of fun setting things on fire.
Now, you would need a license to send something at various altitudes, and do they take form of various licenses?
Yeah, so I'm also on the committee for the Victorian Rocketry Association. Mm-hmm. So we look after getting people those licenses. You start with low-powered rockets. Once your engine reaches a certain level, you go for your L1 certification. Mm-hmm. Once that gets checked off, you can go for L2 with higher-powered rockets, and then L3 for even higher-powered rockets than that. Going above that, you're kind of going commercial. So, we look after the more regional rocketry.
No, tremendous. Now, how many people are on the team at RMIT? And give us a bit of a breakdown on what the team structure is.
So we've got over 40 students. Mm-hmm. Basically, we've got the engineering side and also the business side. So what business does is we kind of, translate things from tech speak to what normal people can understand. They do some amazing things in the engineering side, and we want to be able to convey that to the rest of the world. Under the engineering side, there's also...
We have a few sub-teams, so I'm a part of mission control. Mm-hmm. There's also our structural team, our telemetry and communications team, our payload team, and then we've also got a leadership team looking after all of us.
That's just fantastic. So what's motivated you to be a part of all of this?
For as long as I can remember, I've always wanted to go to space and to be an astronaut. And then I found out I was 3 centimetres too short. So this is about as good as I can do right now. Yeah, the opportunity came up to be a part of youth rocketry, and I just thought that was an opportunity I couldn't pass.
Yeah, so unlike Zoe, first of all, space is cool. Rockets is cool. And my hero is Chris Hadfield, so he's an astronaut himself. But I actually wasn't really well versed into space or what opportunities there were. So I saw this at uni one day and I was like, you know what? Why not sign up? And after that, I realized these people are amazing and really passionate about what they do. And I'm really grateful to be involved with such, well, I guess, amazing people. Yeah.
And I was just going to ask about the competition. What's the details of the competition that you were talking about? Okay. Sounds fascinating.
Yep. So basically the competition is to design, build and launch, as well as recover. Recover is really
important.
Recovery
is very important.
Yeah. A rocket to what we're doing is up to 30,000 feet, which is about like
aircraft cruise altitude.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And the rocket will have a 4 kilogram carrying capacity, or what we call the payload. So that's what the payload team does. And instead of dead weight, we want to use it to carry out a scientific experiment.
So what sort of scientific experiments are you planning on or hoping on carrying?
We are looking at how microgravity affects ferrofluids.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sending some magnets and some ferrofluid material up into space,
mm-hmm.
and just watching how in microgravity, how those spindles that form, how they break and form.
Now, you say you're getting your rocket up to about 30,000 feet.
Yes.
That's what you're achieving at the moment?
That is the plan.
That's the goal.
Not quite there yet, but...
So what sort of altitude have you got up to at this stage?
We're currently working within the Victorian legal airspace, which mm-hmm. only goes up to about 5,000 feet. The next stage is to fly to Queensland and launch rockets up there where they have a higher threshold.
No, tremendous stuff. And I think we're just talking a little bit before. Now, there's two different types of rocket propulsion. So
yes.
We have solid fuel rockets, which is very much like a firecracker, and you light a solid rocket and once it's lit, that's it, you go. And then you have liquid-fueled rockets. So you're using propellant and an oxidizer, and you can. One of the advantages of liquid rockets is that you can control the thrust and you can also restart it and you can shut it down. Now, I noticed a lot of amateur rocketry is all solid rocket fuel. You don't go into liquid rockets at this stage. And is there a reason why we're not into liquid rockets?
Well, as this is our founding year, we decided to work within what we're legally able to do at the moment, which is sodium perchlorate solid fuel rockets. In future years, however, we're looking at doing hybrid and liquid fueled rockets, just once we have the groundwork set out now in our founding year to start looking in and expanding into those areas.
Now, you have a big drive to bring women into the space industry in Australia.
Yes, we do. And Zoe's doing some amazing things as part of it.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually founded an outreach program to try and bring women and children into rocketry in those really vital stages through childhood, and also just women, like stay-at-home mums, anyone that thinks that, hey, space is cool, but it's not something I can do. I want to show them that it is something possible for everyone to achieve.
Space is cool.
Space is cool.
I know. Obviously, if I want to get involved, regardless of your age, if you're a young student in school and you have interest in science and you want to get involved in the rocketry program at RMIT or any other universities, how do you get involved?
So we're currently holding workshops that welcome children and women at the moment. That's our target range at the moment. We're hoping to do more outreach programs next year. But you can follow us on social media, so Facebook or Instagram at RMIT Hive, and that's where we post all of our details.
No,
also on our website.
Yes.
Oh, excellent stuff. Now, the bit I like about the future. Where do we see Australia? What are some of your hopes and dreams and aspirations?
Well, I'm hoping to, you know, start some Mars missions from Australia. Let's get this Australian Space Agency up and running already.
Yeah, pretty much. That's
first
step is graduate, though. That's my first goal. And then, you know.
Then all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
I think on behalf of the LGBTI community, I'd love to see you put your pride flag on the moon to represent peace, love and tranquility on Tranquility Base.
Can I do one better than that and just take it straight to Mars?
No, it's going to be fascinating. And look, I'm so impressed with the work you do, and I've done a little bit of research and seen some of the work you've done. All of your team of 40 people, you need to be really proud of the work that you're doing. I have great hope for you all. I really want to see an Australian space agency be formed. You, the young people, are the ones who are going to do that for us. And to see an Australian rocket and an Australian payload into space and or on Mars, to me, will be like winning the yes vote. So we all wish you well and best of luck. And we hope to see more of you in the future. Hey?
And really, I want to see you all like that Mars mission the other day that landed on Mars. I want to see you all sitting in front of all those computers and screaming and yelling at the top of your voice when it's successful. successful, because I'm sure everything
and,
you do will
And
be.
You have to beat that high five dance that those did.
Oh, we will.
Did.
I'm already working.
Already training for it.
Already training for that one. Beck and Zoe, thank you very much for coming into the Joy Studio. And something a little bit different for Joy, talking about science and rockets. But look, it's been fabulous having you in. Good luck with the future. We're really, really proud of the work you're doing, and we really hope to see more of you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Will and Pete on Joy 94.9.
Did you know that Joy 94.9 is Australia's only LGBTI radio station? Our mission is to make Australia a more inclusive place for everyone. Only your generosity can help us do this. To donate $5, just text the word JOY to 19949 949. That's JOY to 19949 949 for a once-off $5 donation. T's and C's apply. Visit joy.org.au for more information. This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.